In my hometown of Bowling Green, there's a man who used to take high school and young adults on a camping trip to the mountains in Montana and Colorado every summer. And I was blessed to go with him a number of times. We were on our way up there one summer when we stopped for Sunday Mass at a parish on the way. And it was these readings that we just heard. And I remember the priest preaching about our second reading from Romans. What can separate us from the love of God? And he said, our sin can. And I remember getting so mad, thinking this reading goes on and on about all the things that can't separate us from the love of God. And this guy decides to talk about what can separate us from the love of God. I'm sure he talked about other things as well, but I didn't hear anything else after that. I don't know if that ever happens here. I was pretty young and arrogant. Now I'm older and arrogant. The priest was right. By our sin, we walk away from God. Even it remains true that he does not walk away from us. He remains close to us, even when we're far away from him. How many times have we let hardship or sickness, the death of a loved one, legitimate suffering, separate us from the love of God? Those things decidedly do not separate us from the love of God. Though they not infrequently cloud our experience of the closeness of his love. I think the gospel today can help us get past those things that cloud our experience of God's love and compassion for us. The gospel says that when Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew to a deserted place by himself. And don't think of this as Jesus being afraid. He wasn't afraid of Herod. One of the things that he's doing here is teaching us by his example. When you and I experience something really tragic or even traumatic, we should follow the example of Jesus. He doesn't drown himself in alcohol or chocolate or distracting entertainment or any worldly pleasures. As our first reading from the prophet Isaiah says, and our psalm as well, why spend your wages on what fails to satisfy? It's the hand of the Lord and nothing here on earth that feeds us. Nothing else can do that. The world really is a distraction. It can't satisfy, and it certainly can't heal our hearts. Jesus separates himself from the world. He withdraws to a deserted place with his closest disciples. He's not alone, but he withdraws for solitude with his heavenly Father. Our spiritual tradition emulates this by encouraging us, all of us, to make a retreat, especially to a religious house. Those tend to be somewhat separated from the world. We withdraw to be with the divine physician because nothing of this world can separate us from his healing and compassionate love. And from this place of solitude with the Father, we next read that Jesus sees the vast crowd. And his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. Separation from the world helps us to see others in their needs. It helps us to open our eyes to what and who is all around us. To be moved with pity, mercy, compassion, and to seek to help them. That phrase, his heart was moved with pity, it's one word in the Greek. It has the sense of his insides were turned out or stirred up for them. It also can mean, be translated as womb. From his separation from the world, from his solitude with the Father, comes forth from deep within him a movement of compassion to heal others, to give life to others. Just before this gospel passage, the earthly king, Herod, surrounded with worldly luxury, was moved with lust to see a girl's dance. And it led him to take the life of John the Baptist. But not only does Jesus heal the sick and teach the poor, he feeds the hungry. Now, certainly this passage is about Jesus feeding over 5,000 people with physical loaves of bread. But more importantly, it's a window for us to the spiritual feeding that Jesus continues to do today through the Holy Eucharist. He takes the bread. He looks to heaven, to the divine source. This is an action of the divine Father. He blesses the bread, he breaks it, and he gives it. We'll do each of those verbs here shortly in this Eucharist, just as the church has done in every Eucharist for 2,000 years. I hope that we have all come here to separate ourselves a little from the world, to have a little solitude with the Father, to let the Son see us, be moved with pity for us, and to let him give birth to new life in us, to his healing power in us. He teaches us here that nothing can separate us from the love of God, beseeching us not to separate ourselves from his love. If you and I receive that compassionate, healing, life-giving love of God here in this Eucharist, then when we go out, we need to be ready to see others as Christ has seen us, to be healing in life for others as Christ is healing and life for us in this Eucharist. We need to be broken for others as Christ here breaks his own body for us and pours out his own blood for us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let us strive to separate ourselves from the world so that we can be healed by him and so we can be healing for others. So here's the homework for the week. This week, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, even in your body, when you can, strive to separate yourself from the world, to have a little solitude with the Heavenly Father. His love has never been separated from you.